This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 387 of Shutters Inc. This is going to be a very short episode. I can't remember. I know Glenn and I spoke last week about the possibility of him being away this week. And I can't remember if we actually mentioned that while we were recording the podcast or if we mentioned it to each other after we'd finished recording. So in case you weren't aware, Glenn is not here this week. A couple of things. First up, Lior from Israel. Mate, thank you so much. I know we mentioned your email last week. I did finally get around to experimenting with what you were talking about, and you are absolutely correct. The maths does work. The idea for shooting with a 10-stop filter is compose your image the way you want it. Set your ISO to 6400. Put the 10-stop filter on the camera, and the number of seconds that you require at 6400 ISO will be the number of minutes you require when you then set your ISO back to 100. So yes, it does work. So thank you, Lior. Thank you for setting me straight on that one, because I was a little confused, clearly. And why it's taken me this long to work all that out, I don't know, but there you go. So thank you. Carl sent us an email. He said, "Hi guys, forgot to mention that when you first started talking about calculating the exposure for ND filters, I bypassed the brain strain and just use a mobile app called Slow Shutter. It calculates the time and then does a countdown. The countdown even syncs with my Garmin watch via Bluetooth." Yeah, thank you, Carl. I'm not sure if that's an iOS app or an Android app or both or something other, but yeah. I have also likewise found myself an app for my phone. And if I just go and call up that app, I'll actually be able to tell you what it's called. It is called ND Calculator. Does exactly what it says on the box. I may have mentioned that actually a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think we've done that topic to death now, so I'm pretty sure we can move on. Adam sent me a link. This guy flew his camera drone onto, inside, and under a moving train. I watched this video and was massively impressed. This guy has seriously spent some hours flying drones, clearly, because what he does with this drone is absolutely amazing. He clearly picked his spot, knew that there would be a freight train coming, and yes, he flies all around it. He flies under it, like seriously, takes the drone underneath a moving freight carriage. There was one boxcar that was, the side door was open, and he actually flew his drone inside the boxcar while the train is in motion. It is a phenomenal video. Definitely go and watch it. Yeah, it's it's one of those you can't pull yourself away kind of videos. So thank you, Adam. Really appreciated that one. The other story that Adam sent us this week was a Canon and Nikon remote unit called Pulse. Again, the link will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to check this out. It's from a mob called Alpine Laboratories. And it's like all of these other, you know, things like the now defunct Trigger Trap. Yeah. Go and have a look. The video will pretty much make it clear. Be nice to see them extend the product line to other camera manufacturers, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Steve Peters commented on Facebook that Glenn should probably read a document called Can I Fly There, which is a document released by CASA, the Civil Aviation Safety Authority of here in Australia, regarding the use of drones and where you can and cannot fly them. Glenn did reply to say that he has read it and that he has been flying in approved areas, but I thought I'll throw the link in the show notes for anyone else who's getting into the use of drones, and particularly if you're thinking about doing it in any sort of commercial context. Definitely make yourself aware of the rules so that you're not, you know, ending up on the wrong end of a lawsuit or a fine. Yeah, so that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out. And that is it. We will finish up with another book review from David Marland. I think he's talking to us about rock and roll stars or something. Take it away, David.
Psst. Yeah, you over there listening to this podcast. You want to know a few cheap tricks to make your portraits look high-end without having any expensive gear? There's this book written by this guy called Christopher Gray called Cheap Tricks, Ingenious Lighting and Shooting Ideas for Studio Photography. The book covers a wide range of creative lighting approaches using gear at hand. For example, using cheap spring clips to hold back your backdrops, but also to make fitting very difficult or oversized garments very easy to your model. Another trick in the book is using a can cozy, now we'd call it a stubby holder, to hold lenses when you have to head off in a hurry. How to use fluorescent lights to create particular effects is another little trick. There's a number of these tricks in the book used to simulate high-end lighting effects. And to me, the book's a bit like the first book we reviewed, Studio Anywhere by Nick Fancher. But whereas Nick literally talked about having a studio anywhere, this book deals with studio work. At least this book can stimulate your thinking around solving lighting problems on the fly. But I think the elephant in the room is you need to have a plan in mind on how you want to depict the subject. Have something pre-visualized, but don't have it so embedded so rigidly in your mind that you can't change the pathway to achieve what you want. You need to be adaptive and you need to be able to be stimulated by what occurs on the shoot and able to get what you want or even better. And in order to do that, you need to have also done a fair bit of practical work to know how light behaves to get the most out of this book. But if you just want some ideas, it's worth a look. Cheap Tricks by Christopher Gray is published by Amherst Media. It's a softback, and Booko has it from between $30 and $70. Cheers.
Ah, so not talking about Cheap Trick the band. Okay. Sounds like a great book, though, David. Thank you. I love the stubby holder idea. I like that. I'll tell you why I like that, because I've taken to putting the pannier bags back on the Triumph, which for, you know, most of the 3.5 years that I've owned that bike, I've had them sitting in the garage so that I can filter through traffic, which is legal in New South Wales. And probably a couple of months ago decided, you know what, stuff it. I'm just going to put the bags back on the bike and I'm going to carry my DSLR everywhere. Now, to date, I've yet to actually stop the bike and pull over and take a photo, except for the weekends when Kath and I have been out for a ride. But the point is, I'm always carrying my DSLR now, and it's just in a duffel bag with a spare lens and a few bits and pieces, accessories like, you know, filters and the little GorillaPod knockoff thing that I bought. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. The idea of a stubby holder, that spare lens, I should grab a stubby holder and stuff it inside that so that although that stuff's all just knocking around inside the duffel bag, if it had a stubby holder around that lens, it would protect that lens. That's a great idea. I am definitely doing that. So thank you, David. Much appreciated. All right. David has mentioned to me that he's going to take this to 50 episodes of book reviews and then we're going to knock it on the head. That was number 42, just for anyone who's interested. So, okay, that will do it. I promised you a short one. It has been that. It's going to clock in at around about 10 minutes once it's edited. And until I speak with you next, take care.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.